Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show. And today, our guest is Jackie Chin, all the way in America. How you going, Jackie?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Peter?
Good. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Now, you're an author, a paranormalist, and a spiritual advisor, and you've been doing this for around 20 years, is it?
Yeah, I've been doing it for the public for a little over 23 years, but for family and all that, really since I was about 5 or 6 years old. And my first experiences with the paranormal, I had visions when I was little, and ghost and spiritual energy would come and visit me when I was sleeping over at my grandmother's house. And I would ask her about it because my grandmother, she was very cool about all kinds of stuff. And she said, if you ever have anything kind of odd or weird happen, just tell me about it. So I would tell her about these beings or spirits that would visit me, and she would ask me what they would look like and what their behavior was and the kinds of things that we would talk about. And she's like, oh, that's, probably some of your relatives, and they're just checking on you. And I never felt scared about it. And then as I grew, my grandmother had passed away when I was very young still. She passed away when I was around 8. And I was still living in Cleveland at the time in Ohio. And then I didn't start getting back into paranormal activity until I was approximately 14, 13, 14 years old. And I have also found since then that that is a time when many, especially girls, start to come about walking in this particular path. And I had an interesting experience with my mother, whom was quite, she knew that I could do, and I had these abilities. I didn't know how she knew, but because I never really discussed them with her. Had a very, very difficult childhood, to say the least. And so she came to me one evening and she started talking to me about these dreams that she was having. She says, I know you can figure out what is going on. Well, it turns out that the entity or spiritual energy that was bothering her happened to be her own father, who died in the house. And he was actually very overcome with negative spiritual energy. He had gotten himself into some very dark things, and some very horrid spiritual energy had taken over him and made him do all kinds of weird things. When he died, there was feces all over the house, and there was just mounds of dirty clothes and just filth everywhere. And this man, normally, and when he wasn't drinking, he was brilliant and well respected in the community, worked at a bank and the whole bit. And so this energy, I guess, had been bothering her for a number of years, apparently since she had moved into the house. And she started talking to me about, like I said, the dreams and stuff. And so my first encounter with something that wasn't exactly all that great was when she started taking me around to different places in the house. And she would say, like a table, for instance. And this is how I learned that when I could touch something and I could get an image out of it. She would have me tell her where everybody sat at the dinner table, or whose item a particular thing is that she gave to me. And it progressed actually into other things. And one evening she was talking to me, and she said she wanted to know what this energy was that was at her bedroom door. It was like a window in the door, and that he could see through, but that he couldn't touch the door handle, couldn't open it, couldn't go through it. And so I was like, well, maybe if I stand there and all up on the door, maybe I can feel or get an image of who it was. Well, I did that, and nothing happened. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And then I don't know if it was she that suggested it or I that suggested it. And I says, well, why don't we turn the light off in the hall and see what happens then. I went, turned the hall light off, and I got up again, and I'm like right, my nose is touching the door, my hands are touching the door, bare feet up against the door. Closed my eyes, and within, I would say less than 20 seconds, I saw one of the most evilest things I had encountered up until that point. And it was very, now I think about it, very demonic. It was laughing. It had this horrid look on its face, like, haha, I see you, I know you see me.
What did it appear like? What did it?
It looked human, okay? So it looked human, but its eyes were like kind of like bulging out, and its teeth were like gnarly, like very hideous looking. And it just had this feel of this is very bad, 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 very bad. And I went, I ran, I flicked on the lights in the hallway, and I opened the door, and I reached for a rosary. And all I could do was sit on the bed and rock back and forth. And she goes, what happened? What happened? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. It was horrible. It was evil. It was really bad. And I don't ever want to do that again. And that seemed to make her sort of gleeful. It was kind of odd because, you know, a mom, when my children have kinds of experiences, I either go to automatic banish whatever it is they're seeing, or I talk to them about it and ask them about their experience. But I don't keep pushing because that's not how to deal with things. She took me from that experience, and I went into another room, and there was some clothing that was in a closet that was hanging on hangers. And she would say, well, I want you to do this next. And she would take out these hangers, and she gave them to me. And one, when I just picked, I hold it, and then it just went right to the floor. And I'm thinking, what the heck? It feels like somebody's standing in them. And she's like, well, that's kind of odd. And then she handed me another piece of clothing, and it didn't have that reaction at all. And then she says, well, the one that went down to the floor was, it belonged to my father. And then I started piecing things together. Shortly after that, and thank God she didn't have me do anything else, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was at school. And I have a friend of mine, his name was Eric, and what we would do is, because it was about the time when Escape to Magic Mountain came out, and it was about these kids that had a psychically connected experience between the two of them. They were Tony and Tia, and they were brother and sister. And their parents, there was, you know, their parents were what they thought were what killed. And they had an uncle, and the uncle would take them to different places. Well, the uncle took them to this particular mountain where there happened to be aliens there, and they came down with a spaceship, all of that kind of thing. So I thought that was pretty interesting and kind of cool. And so my friend and I, we had gotten some, I don't know what they're called right now. They're cards, and they have like different shapes on them, like circles and stars and things like that. And we made some up, and we would guess what they were, and it was a hooey for us because we're like, oh yeah, that's cool, we got it right. And then we moved into just regular deck of playing cards, and we were getting those right. And then one day, about maybe 4 months later, we were sitting in an auditorium. It was around Christmas time. There was a group that was from the, I think from the high school, that was singing choir song, or not choir songs, but like Christmas songs and that kind of thing. And so I was sitting up in the front, and my friend was sitting all the way in the back. And I kept saying, I'm thinking some this thought came to me. What if I keep saying his name over and over and over? I wonder if I can hear him, like in the movie. And so I was saying his name over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then I hear this loud, what? But it wasn't what, like auditory ear. It was what, like in ear. And I turned around and I looked at him and he's sitting there. And I said to myself, I said, you heard me. And he goes, yeah. And then it never happened ever again. No matter what we tried, it never ever happened again. And I'm like, what? What's the joke here? You know? And so I grew up with these kinds of very odd things. Then I moved out of all of that and I moved away from him and I didn't do anything for a very, very long time after that. And then I left my family's house because I kind of sort of needed to. And I moved in with my, at the time, boyfriend. And so it was maybe about a year and a half later. I'm approximately 19 years old. I'm walking up the street. And this is my first experience with having a, I think, a remote view. But at the time, I didn't know that. I was looking up and I saw this airplane. And it was, just flying by, and it was no big deal usually for us because the airport is like 20 miles away from us. It was in Berea. Now, at the time, was living in Lakewood, Ohio. And this time, though, it was very, very different. I was walking down the street. It was nice sky and all of that. I see this plane, but then I realize my spiritual energy, what I had never felt before like that, was inside the plane. And I was looking around and I was watching the people. And I saw women and children and babies and guys in business suits and all of that. And then what seemed like less than a blink of an eye, the thing exploded. And I was very shocked. And I looked up in the sky and I'm like, blink, blink, and there's nothing there. There's no plane, there's no explosion, there is no nothing. And I'm looking for things falling out of the sky and there's nothing there. So I go home, I get on the phone and I call a couple of my friends. One is in the military and the other one was in the FBI. And I said, seen something and I don't know exactly how to deal with it. So luckily the two people I was talking to, they believed me. And I said, I saw this, it exploded from the inside. I don't understand. Nothing like that had ever happened before on any of the news, anything. And the one thing that I kept asking me, both of them, what did the outside of the plane look like? Did you see any markings? I said, this thing was huge. And it was white, and I think I see numbers on there, but it doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm not even sure if I did or, and the whole thing is just bizarre, and I think I'm like losing my mind. And they're like, there might be something to this. So, about I don't know, maybe 3 4 months later, I'm sitting by myself, my then husband. Or boyfriend, I should say, because we weren't married yet, was at work, and I'm watching the evening news. And what comes on was horrifying to me because I saw that there was a plane and it was light 8 over Lockerbie, Scotland, and it had exploded.
That's trippy, like picked up on it.
I told the powers that be after I got on the phone with the people that I had originally told, and they said, I don't know how you knew about it, but I know you didn't have anything to do with it, but how did you know about this? I'm like, well, I kind of sort of see things, but at that time, I still wasn't very, didn't have a lot of knowledge about why it was I saw what I saw. And so they're like, well, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, well, there's really nothing I can do. I did, after all of that was said and done, when I actually saw it the first time on the television, I had a violent reaction and I went to the bathroom and I threw up. Because,
Be a lot to take in. I know it's just
right?
for myself, it's a lot to take in. And sometimes you
It,
think you're
yeah.
going nuts until you sort of realize what's going on, but still, even when you realize the reality of what's going on, it's still so much to absorb and take in.
So I, after that, I looked up at the, I went outside and I looked up at the sky and I said, hey, whoever is in charge of all of this stuff, I don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. I don't want to ever go through that again. And I don't care what you think is point for all of this, because I was like, there was nothing I could do. There was nobody I could call. I didn't have information. It was horrible. And so then a long time went by, about 6, 7 years, and then I started getting back into doing things, but on a very small scale. And then in 96, I got divorced, was married, and graduated from college and a few other things, all in about months.
In how many months?
3.
3 months. Jeez,
Yep.
that's a
So then my life turns on a totally on its head, on the side, and I started coming more into spiritual awareness and working with more people and doing energy work, hands-on energy work, and learning how that works. And then I started learning about remote viewing, which is what actually happened to me that very first time, and I started learning about that. Still lots of questions about how and why all of this stuff works and why me and all of that. But then I had a lady friend of mine who was like a mentor to me. Her name is Betty Erdman. She owned a store in Lakewood called Star Spectrum, and she would laugh at me. She would say, you know, you do readings and you do stuff like that for people, and it helps your family, right? And I said, well, yeah. She goes, well, what does it matter how you do it, but that you do it? And oh, we would have arguments, like crazy arguments about all of this stuff, existential rationales on why this works, shouldn't work, whatever. And then we ended up moving from Lakewood, and we are in Warren, Ohio, which is about an hour and 20 minutes away from downtown Cleveland. And I started working in different areas, but more online stuff. And so I started getting connected with a directory called Best Psychic Directory. And people would come after I had worked with them and they would write reviews and stuff. And so this is now how most of the people out there find me. And
There's a lot of
then,
bloody reviews on there too. You've got a lot of good reviews
yeah,
on there.
I'm
Yes.
very fortunate to be able to have that. And some couple other things, like some people who do this kind of work, sometimes they're led to talk to complete and total strangers who have not come up to them, but you have this like feeling like I have to say something to them. So one of the first times that that happened, we were, my husband and I, in a restaurant over at Eaton Park. And this was again in Warren. And this waitress, she kept coming over and, you know, like doing what she's supposed to do. And she's very pleasant. And I kept hearing this name over and over and over in my head. And then I kept hearing this goading to go ask her about him. And so I looked up at her and I said, do you know anything about this man, Mark? I believe that's the name I said. And she looked down at me. She was holding a glass of water. And she almost let go of it because it started to slip out of her hand. I grabbed it from her because I didn't want to wear it. And she said, do you know how many psychics I have gone to have them tell me about that name and that individual and that have not been able to do it? And I go, I didn't know it was a contest. But the man that you're thinking about is not does not have your best intentions, and that I'm very concerned that his overpowering being with you, even though the man was actually locked away, and she was having conversation with him, and he was going to be getting out very soon, and she was wondering, very consumed with whether or not she should carry on a actual physical relationship with him. And for me to come out of the blue and just go blah blah blah, and then she goes, "Well, do I owe you anything?" I said, "You don't owe me anything. You're paying quite enough with what you're going through right now." And so every once in a while, I have those kinds of things. It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while, you get that goading. So I've done that. Before I left Lakewood, I started doing Reiki, or hands-on energy work. And then there are a lot of styles and flavors of Reiki, but I do a very, very traditional style. And it's we have the people seated upright, not laying down. We, just basically work it like through the meridians of the body, and then started learning how to do that. And I started working with this stone called selenite. And you may be familiar with it yourself. It's
It's not this one, is
probably
it?
yes,
Yep.
absolutely.
Yep.
I was gifted by a Native American woman who said, "I have something for you." And I've had it for a very long time. It's been passed down but generations through my family. But I don't believe that it's for me. I believe it's for you. And for us, we had created a relationship over a good 5, 6 year period of time, and we're basically like sisters, because we kind of share that same kind of I don't know, that desire to be able to help people at the heart of the matter. And she goes, "I have something for it." I'm like, she was talking to me for about a month and a half. I said, "I don't want it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to know what it is. I don't want anything to do with it." She's like, No, you really need to." So come over one day, and she has this, and it's wrapped in a rabbit's skin. And I'm like, oh. So she goes, "Oh, just open it." I was like, "Fine." I'm opening it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, why was I so apprehensive to be able to receive this? Because most times she says, "I have something for you." I'm like, "Oh, cool, new toy." But when I picked it up and I looked at it, I was like, "Well, I don't, what is it about this?" And she started telling me about the history of it. And I said, "Well, what do I do with it?" She goes, You'll figure it out." Really? And at that point in time, I was still looking at stones and minerals and things like that as being, oh, they're pretty, but probably completely useless. And I didn't know. That's how I came into the knowing of using these pieces. Did you know that selenite can not only act as it acts, it's like a sponge, and it can either take in energy from the person or the surrounding environment, or it can put out. And it all works with intention. And that's how I started working and understanding about, and it's a very plain stone. I have some people out there, they've been doing metaphysical work for ages, and they're like, "Oh, well, this stone is, and it's all bright and shiny and pretty and glittery and all that." Do you know that some of the most powerful healing stones are some of the most butt ugly things there is?
Some of the most basic looking things you could come across. Exactly, yeah.
And a lot of times these are the things that are most needed for that individual to have. So I have now a collection of what I call, yeah, they're pretty stones, but they have specific uses for people. And sometimes I give them away, and sometimes I throw them in the river, and sometimes I keep them. That will pass down into my family, and it'll be part of what we do. Then, there are other things that I have gone through. For a long time, about every 6 months, I was having a spiritual jump in the energy work that I would do. It's like getting pieces to a puzzle. Okay, so when you're doing a reading for someone, or you're doing energy work, or you're learning a new method, it's like somebody's puzzle throws it up in the air, and you're going to have some pieces that are face up, and some that are face down, and some that are connected. And you have to piece it back together again, and you don't know what the puzzle looks like because you don't have a picture of it. And so, as you're marking all of these things and putting them together, and you start going and moving up their level. Sometimes, what will happen if people are conscious of what is going on, if there's new energy happening around them, they could be standing, and then all of a sudden their body starts moving like a pendulum. And that's when they're starting to come into to new energy. If someone from a higher realm is having a conversation with them, they could get a headache. They could get physically ill. They could get a feeling like in their body that is vibrating, and it's vibrating very fast. And all of that, when all of this stuff was happening to me and I was changing, it was kind of really not traumatic, but it took me back. I've also noticed that energy can enter into a body while you're conscious and you know what's going on, if you're aware of what's going on and you feel it. And I have told my husband a couple of times, my husband is extremely grounded. I would say, I feel like I have something with me, and I need to do an energy dump. And what we will do is, I will try to go and shower first, and I'll try to release the energy that way. And then, if that doesn't work, then I'll go to my husband and I'm gonna say, I need help with this because I can't seem to get rid of it. First, dump it into a. And if it doesn't take, then go and get running water, wash your hands, and try that. And if that doesn't, you get in the shower, you let the water come down. If that doesn't work, then you have to try something else. Now, some people will take their shoes off and they will go outside and they'll walk on the earth, and they'll like or touch or hug on a tree, or they will go to the park where there's a lot of grass and trees, and they can smell all the senses and all that. But sometimes that stuff doesn't work. Sometimes you have to have another being that understands where you're at least partially anyway. And sometimes when that happens, and I'll go and I'll touch on him, or just with his hands, or I'll give him a hug, we'll feel like a little electrical jolt. And that's kind of odd. You'll get something like that if you are around energy that is settled, seems to be coming from a source from like down under and not a benevolent being. And it's what will end up doing is that you will get a shock from it because it won't be able to connect with your body, your energy, and it'll be repelled. And we've gotten some pretty good sparks too. These sparks, they come off, they look like they're blue. And okay, that's kind of bizarre. We've had I ran energy about now, almost, let's see, it happened in October-ish. I was at a coffee house in the place where I go to, and I was writing an article actually about angels, which is something that I would like to discuss. And I was writing actually about the Archangel Michael. And I was minding my own business. I was writing on my computer, and all of a sudden, I felt from the right side, which is very important, I started feeling this black mass. And it was like a wave, kind of, sort of, but it had form, but it didn't have shape. And it started coming around.
Wasn't like a shadow
It was
man.
like deep, like the blackest black you have ever
So,
seen.
yeah, very
Our
dark and
black
dense.
is not black. It isn't, not compared to that.
Yeah, yep.
And it started coming around, and it was like looking at me, like examining me. And by the time it got to here, I was like, my prayers that I knew, my light work that I knew, any connection that I had to spiritual anything was like it was gone. And I got scared. I didn't panic. The only thing that I could think of on a constant level was call my husband, get on the phone, call my husband. And I called him. He knew there was something not right. He knew I wasn't physically being mishandled, but that there was something wrong. So it gets there. I'm standing in the vestibule of this place, and it took about 2.5 hours to disconnect from the I had. And I prayed really, really hard. Why is this? What is this? What can I possibly do to make sure it never happens again, or it never comes around to anybody I care about? What do I do? And so it took quite a while. And then I ran into this man. He was at a convention. And this was, yeah, about 2 years ago. He looked like he was about 7 foot tall. But I saw him like about a couple of months ago in a different situation. And he didn't look very tall at all. It was kind of odd. And, like the perspective was kind of odd. But I was told that I was going to meet this person and I needed to talk with him. And I'm like, okay. So I go up to this guy and we're standing there. And I had a table at the convention because I was, talking to people about the psychic work that I was doing and things like that. And he had a table as well. And he had a person that was with him that was one of his students and a lady. And she had cards and all of this. And it was obvious that the stuff was black-handed path. And I knew that the person I needed to talk with was a follower of this particular pathway. And that was already given because I know that when we go to do research on things that we don't understand, we need to find out a source that does understand.
Stand, yeah.
So I come walking up to him and I'm talking with him and I said, I'm supposed to talk with you. And he looks at me very poignantly and says, I know. I'm like, okay. So I started talking to him about this massive energy that I ran into. And he looks at me and he's kind of standing there and he's got his arms crossed and he's looking down at me. He goes, lady, do you realize the kind of path that I walk? And I said, yes, I'm quite aware that you walk on the left hand and that you work with demons and that you for you this is an acceptable form. And he goes, you're not afraid of me? I said, no. Why should I be? And he looked at me again and he's like looking at around me. He goes, do you know you glow? And I said, I've been told that. And he goes, do you know why? And I looked up at him and I said, I may look younger than what I am, thankfully, but I'm aware of whom I walk with and the energy that I walk with, and that I do have my, and I point to him, I have my angels with me. I have, I know who walks with me. And no, I'm not afraid of you or what you have to offer, but I need to talk with you. So can we get past this? He said to me, he's like, yeah. I said, is there something, a prayer, a book, object that I can use if, in fact, I run into this thing again? And he told me about this object, and it's a Tibetan made out of brass, and it's called a dorje. It's DJORE. And it has, it kind of sort of looks like a barbell. And one end on this piece was closed like a ball, and
Yep.
the other end was open. And it represents both male and female energy. And through the center of it, though, is this long staff. It's like this long, long stick. And I'm l looking at this thing after I got it, and I'm like, what the heck do I do with it? But the guy, I told him, I said, well, when I get this, if I get this, what am I supposed to do with it? He goes, you'll know. That brings me back to a vision that I had right before we moved from Liquid to this place. I was sitting on my coffee table, because it's made out of wood and I can do that. And I was watching my goofy soap opera show and vegging out. And then I really vegged out. And I went and I had a vision. And the vision was very, very odd and unusual. I was standing at the walkway where Christ was walking with the cross. And he had fallen for the second time. And he's down on a knee, and he's got sweat and blood and everything else dripping from him. And he's got the piece of wood behind him. And he looks over to me. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing people. I'm smelling all the smells. I'm looking at all of the fabrics and stuff. I love different fabrics because I like to sew. And I'm like looking around, going, what the heck is going on? He looks directly at me and he says, now you know. And so I'm looking at him and I'm like, now I know what? And I'm going through all of this stuff and I'm having an argument Christ, Jesus, Yahshua,
Yep, Joshua, that's
Yeshua.
it. Yep.
And I'm looking at him and I'm like, you know what? My life was pretty damn screwed up. I was abused in every way possible. I was beaten. I was a lot of times just cast aside. And now I'm here in this experience, and I don't really have too much to show for anything. I work hard every day, and I'm not getting anywhere. And now I know what. And he just looked at me and said, now you know. And then it was gone, the whole everything. And I came back into my being, I guess, and I still have the vision in my head of what that looked like, and I'm trying to find someone to like paint it for me.
Yeah, well, I've had
So
a similar experience, but just in meditation here, we can pop up. And a lot of people have, like, I write in the books about with Moses and Mary Magdalene, they're the first two that came in. And I know exactly what you're saying, but there's sort of this bliss and everything else, but he's got a sense of humor about him that most people wouldn't, that he's on a cross dying, but there is that
yes.
sort of riddle type stuff, humor about him. Did you ever work out what that was for you?
Yes, but it didn't like really occur to me until many years later that
It works.
all of the suffering that he was going through to be able to help people, and that many people who do the work that we do have gone through some highly traumatic experiences that for most people would put them in a grave or make them an alcoholic or a drug addict.
Yep.
That severe. And I came out of all of that not having any of it. But I also noticed that there's something else that I have found with people who do work like this. And I wanted to ask you a question about it. When we go into doing readings, and I do believe that it's like an interdimensional thing, as we talked a little bit earlier about. If that when our spiritual body goes and does this little trip and comes back with the information, if we are not somehow damaging our body, even in the slightest, because now
Good question.
I've been diagnosed about 2.5 months ago now. I have spinal arthritis. It runs all the way up and down my spine. It affects my arms and my legs. And I'm curious on that, like I say, international trip that we go through when we go to pull information from future or even going backwards. What, if any, effect that has on the body? I think it does affect.
There is a, like I've talked about this with other people, and there isn't sort of just one set way. It's sort of like one common thing is we don't age like other people age, like physically.
Right.
There's other things where people's minds won't work like they did. You could say, oh, it's aging with the mind, but it's like because of the information overload and spending a lot of time in another reality, like the basically universal consciousness realm where you can go back forth whatever like you're talking about. It's sort of when you come back you're trying to work with this body computer, but there's going to be little glitches here and there. The other thing is too, I know from my experiences is that there's work that sometimes I'll be taken, not abducted, but taken by my home crew back in Orion, and they're sort of they look human, but they're sort of light being. They are light beings. But what they'll do is, with the shift going on at the moment, this isn't going to answer exactly. But with the shift going on at the moment, you've got the spiritual energy of our being, and then you've got the physical, the body. And what's happening is, at the moment, we're trying to resonate the two together. So when the spirit goes up and the vibration goes up, the body's got to come with it, and there'll be things that wear off on the body. And some things like that can arise from it, because what's happening is, like even with meditation, I went on about it yesterday, was that during meditation at the moment, some people will get flutters in certain parts of their body, and then they'll meditate again, it'll be a different part of the body. What's happening is that
Right.
the consciousness is coming through, telling the cells of the body different parts. They're altering in them for the shifts. It can't be all done at once. So what's happening is things are happening on this part today, tomorrow could be another part, or whenever it's got to be, there will be changes to the cells and the structure of our body computer to go with it. So to answer specifically to say about your back, I couldn't say yes or no, but you've just sort of got to look within yourself to answer that because you know your body, you know what you do, and you know how far out this shit can get because a lot of people don't want to go here where we're going now.
The other thing that they had found when they, because they did try and all that, the odd thing about all of this is arthritis is generally like kicked into high, really bad problems when the weather gets really cold for most people. For me, when it's cold, I'm fine. But if it's hot out, yeah, get out of the way. You don't want to be around me. And until I have to take these like 3 pills, and I'm supposed to take them like 3 times a day, and for some, and twice a day for others. And I hate taking pills. So I don't know. It's very odd. I have had days where I can even put a toe down on the floor without screaming in pain, or often things when I can't even lay down to sleep because my whole body is in incredible pain. So I'm very thankful that I have a lot of good days, especially lately. I've had a lot of good days and not had to take the pills.
Have you done any psychic or type of energy work on yourself pertaining to that?
We go and so what I do is I do Reiki, and I pray, and I'm like, all right. So I realize that there are ways for people to be able to have relief by the fact that they know that they are part of something larger that's going on. they are connected into this, as you call, universal consciousness and things of that sort, and that there are ways to be able to alleviate pain and stress and suffering. I followed for a very, very long time a Buddhist pathway, still do. And I have my children. They know both about Guanyin,
Yep.
and they know about Jesus, and they know about the kinds of things that they both have been portrayed to do. Now, Guanyin was not an actual individual. Guanyin is a collective of consciousness, and the ideal that if you call upon Guanyin, that she hears all cries and all suffering. And so very often what happens is you look to see what individual goes to the most. Now, I was brought up in for the most part Catholic, and then I went to Christianity, and then I kind of stepped out of everything for a while because I was off at God and everything else for showing me these visions and not being able to do anything about them. And then I started coming into a Buddhist mindset that allows for everyone to be where they're at because to be. And sometimes, like when I talk with people and I work with them, and they're like, well, why can't this person be up with me? Why can't they see me for who I am? Why can't they, come up to my level? And I would tell them, I said, well, if you were on the bottom of a ladder, or even in the middle of a ladder, would you want somebody to forcibly drag you up to where they are? And I don't mean do it nice and go, oh, come on and let, I mean drag you, pick you up and drag you. And you'd be smacking your face and hitting yourself and you could fall, and when I say that to some of the people, they're like, they laugh and they're like, well, oh, of course I wouldn't. Well, and I ask them very pointedly, why are you trying to do that to this individual? Or if you've had certain kinds of experiences, and of course we perspective is everything, right?
Yeah.
But you can't get perspective unless you've had experience. And even if you've had an experience like someone else, shared experience, it's still not the same because you're taking from it because of your past perspective,
Yeah,
something,
exactly.
right? So these people who say, well, we've been through all kinds of things together and all of that, well, that's fine and dandy, but it's not the same. And you can't really believe that they're going to be exactly like you because they're coming from two different directions. Or, you're merged at a certain point, but all of everything else that you carry with you is different. And so when I start to talk with them, the other big thing that people they don't want to look at is, like, say if they come to me for a reading. And they're like, this person, that person, the other person, all these people, blah, 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 did all of these things to me. And this is why I am where I'm at. Well, no, not necessarily. And they go, well, why not? How is that not the way it is? And I said, well, because you have responsibility. What
Exactly,
part
yeah.
did you play here? Did you allow them to do this because you were getting something out of it, or you thought you were going to get something out of it, or you were getting something out of it and they really didn't know, and all of this stuff, what is going on here? Well, that's not the way. Well, but yes, it is the way it is. And if you don't take responsibility for what you're doing and that you allowed it to happen. And then sometimes people, I have a difficult time with grasping that experiential thing, responsibility. So I say, Think on this. We're having a conversation. I say something that totally completely pisses you off, makes you mad. I mean, you're boiling. Now, did I piss you off, or did you allow yourself to be pissed off at what I said, whether it be ignorant or not?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, let me think about that. You know, so it is quite, you know, a matter of responsibility. And that's the other thing that we were talking about earlier. You know, this whole idea of having enough information and being responsible for what we're looking at, there are a lot of people that are very scared, especially lately within the last couple of years since 2012. You know, everybody's earth-shattering news, 2012, December 20, we're gonna die or something terrible is going to happen, and go on this fear-based.
No, well, that's where everything's at now, and it's very hard to talk to people in that mindset, because what a lot of it is a lot of people haven't independently used their thought, what they think. They've looked at a lot of source of information, and they've sort of, oh, because something's on the internet and it's on this one site. And then the same article is produced here, 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 and they take that as gospel. They sort of haven't looked around, looked at other things.
You need to dig in there and find out where these sources are coming from, because you know, and I got caught up in it too. So hey, you know, but then my husband, who is a very devout researcher, he's like, "Who's backing this? Who's paying? If it's like, you know, who's the deep pockets here? Who's putting the resource into this to push this propaganda, good, bad, or indifferent?" And then, you know, so you have to roll back into it. And very often, it only takes maybe 5 or 6 minutes to find out where exactly it's coming from and if it has any validity to it.
And then you'll go and research the same exact thing and try and look for as many different sources that's going to bring something different to the plate, and look at, that's what a proper journalist should do. They should interview somebody for and against, and sort of draw a line straight down the middle and see what's true and where the lines sort of level up. And from there, you can sort of get, a better understanding of whatever information or whatever the topic is about. You can sort of get to more of an understanding and true core of what's sitting there. But a lot of people don't do that, and they sort of just scourge around and just think, oh, this is real. But it's really got to do with independent thinking of go and do your research, go and get your own connection. And this is sort of where I'm lying now. It says I'm trying to get people that. Get them to get their own connection to their guides, to the beings that they work with. Because from there, they can play their part and get their information untainted straight from the horse's mouth in whatever form it is. Where
Right.
I tell people, don't believe the word I've got to say, but go and talk to other people and just see what information comes through that's very similar or whatnot. Because at the end of the day, it might be direct information from me, but it's still secondhand from where I've got it. So a lot of people have got to step up to the plate and realize that also that they don't know what they don't know. Just don't treat
Right.
everything as the gospel. And it's frustrating because people are scared. Especially with
Well,
what
good.
the media do too. The media, whether it's a funny spin on the ET stuff or the Earth changes, whatever it is, they will put a spin on it, and the average Joe in the public will perceive it as that if it's brought to them as a reality, an ET reality. Oh, it's Independence Day.
Right.
It's very hard until, a lot of people speak to somebody like yourself or me. That's when they sort of have an avenue for something a bit bigger to perceive whatever information is coming through.
No, we don't perceive to have all the information because I don't think anyone does,
No, they're
but
full of it
we
if
do
they say
have
that.
perspective, right? We have perspective. So, all right, so let's chat a little bit about Comet Ison
Yeah, going
and
to what you we talked about this a few weeks ago, and there's I think James Gilliland and a few others have said it was a UFO. I totally respect them guys. I don't know what the hell it is. Then there's others saying that it was going to cause,
Havoc and
Armageddon
all
and
that, right?
screw up the electromagnetic field of the Earth and do. I looked into what you sent me, and that was sort of about. I've seen a few videos here and there. There was something the other day I saw where they were talking about on some video on YouTube about an electromagnet, a geometric sort of pattern coming off the tail of the craft.
That was kind of weird. Now I've studied a lot about sacred geometry, and when you start noticing that things have particular shapes and patterns, especially like spirals and things of that sort, and bubbles that are like congealed together, and the spaces in between, and all that, and you start really taking notice on that kind of thing, you will, your eye is trained to lure such things. So it could be very well that that is what the individuals are seeing. But that on that being said, sometimes I've looked at the pieces that we've been finding, and it looks like that it's got like a circle and it has wings off of it, and it's talking about these terrible things from the Anunnaki and all of that. I don't know how ancient people knew what this thing looked like in the sky, other than that they were seeded with this information, or maybe that they were a seer and they were able to remote view, or maybe they were out there and they saw this thing up close and personal. But that kind of oddness about it is one of the things I think that was starting to frighten a lot of people. And then you have to think too, also, that there are solar winds out there, and solar winds, they when a comet comes in and it has a tail to it, it's basically showing the direction of the solar wind. And we know that it flies very furious and fast out there. So I don't believe that, my personal experience, I don't believe that it is a planet. I don't believe that it's some sort of spaceship or something like that. I believe that it is formed out of this gaseous mass of ice and whatever else is up in there. I have seen, though, some videos of some odd things, what appear to be UFO-like activity going on around it that seems to be following this thing in the path that it's going, which is, I think, kind of odd. I do believe that comets, especially very large ones, have effect on the Earth. Just as I believe that sunspots and solar flares and all of that have effect on
Well,
the
that's the
planet.
big thing I go into because a lot of the time when there's a big flare up, I'll let people know ahead of time because emotionally, physically, you'll feel drained, you'll feel unstable.
Yes.
Sort of got time to go and chill, maybe go indoors as much as you can because it's not going to protect you either way, but sort of just go and chill, be in a cool and nice chilled out environment, lots of water, because the energetic effects of us of it hitting us, people, it's just even looking at electromagnetic field with, for example, ghost hunting, it can make people hallucinate, it can, paranoia,
Right.
all these sort of things. And here's we've got a huge one coming at us. And people sort of don't think about that. So it's one of those things where it's gonna have some type of effect, but as we've seen, we're still here,
Right, we're still here.
yeah.
Right. So we know that it came in close, and then it just recently did like a loop around the sun, and the people were wondering if it had fizzled out or anything like that. But I do believe that the thing is still intact and it is still going on its own pathway. It might have gotten disturbed in some way, like misshapen or off on a different kind of a course than what it was originally sought out, because people, what they try to do is they try to show trajectory and to let us know where the thing is going to come in close to. But it's outer space and there's all kinds of junk out there, and the thing is that Although I do believe, yes, it's probably going to have some sort of effect. And we've had a lot of volcanic activity that has been going on around the planet, and I'm wondering if that might have something to do with it. There are a lot of ancient texts and ancient hieroglyphs and all of that about something that has to do with this particular comet. There are a lot of people that are calling it and saying it's Planet X, and or it's a dwarf star, or all of this kind of what I believe nonsense, because there's plenty of other stuff out there that if you want to get really scared, there's plenty of stuff out there that you can be really scared about. Recently, over at the caldera of Yellowstone Park, do you know that it has raised 10 inches in a very short time?
Yeah, now it's hard to put this down to, like, personally for myself, I know that since 2012 there has been a shift, but it wasn't the shift that people thought. There's a more awareness. People are waking up in other ways. There is a lot of UFO activity up there now, which I don't think people sort of get afraid when they see crafts around Iceland or the sun, or and there's a lot of, not tampering, there's sort of a lot of monitoring going on, but the reality of it all is that all these powers, you know, whether you want to call them the Illuminati or not, are coming down. At the same time,
Gotta love Skype.
you've got the
It's
Earth cleansing itself at the moment. The Earth is doing a lot of cleansing. You've got a lot of these beings doing cleaning up from there, and we've got to do cleaning up. So there's sort of all this stuff happening, which I think up till 2016, we're going to see a lot of this type of Earth changes, cleansing, and a lot of other things going on. So it's hard to sort of pin it down what's going on, but the volcanic activity has been through the roof recently.
Usually around the Ring of Fire, they've also found too that when one side goes off, it's like a ripple effect, and it will set another side off. All of the activity that we've had around, geez, since the Japan with the earthquake and a horrible tsunami and that kind of thing, and then the other activities. The other thing too that a lot of people have been saying is that there is generally, especially around really large events, there have been a lot of activity, UFO activity.
Well, it just doesn't surprise me because personally myself, there's a lot of stuff coming in, there's a lot of cleaning up going on, so it just doesn't. If people knew the forms of technology they've got and what they can do with cleaning up, monitoring, you know, go all the way down to being able to take you out of your house in the middle of the day, you know, it doesn't surprise me.
There's sent you a number of videos over the past couple of days, and I've been doing some research on giants, and those supposedly found mention in biblical text and in other texts in Samaria and all over the world. And I started trying to piece some of this stuff together because I'm thinking, well, lots of people can have particular stories about things, but they seem to be coming up with same stories, and they're coming up with them all over the planet. And there have been a number of digs over the last number of centuries, where they're finding these gigantic skeletons. And these things are like, they're mad. They're not thinking giants like 7, 8 feet, which would be pretty tall, but we're talking 20, 30 feet tall. And some of the people out there have said, oh, somebody made those things, and it's just a big fake. And I'm thinking, well, somebody did, and it's a big hoax. Well, somebody put a lot of time and effort into digging up tons and tons of earth, and then it mysteriously just kind of all sedimentized the way it's supposed to and all that. I don't think so. So what I have found is that there is a biblical reference to these fallen angels, and there were a specific amount, and I don't know if it was like 200 or 209 that had followed Lucifer down onto the planet. And it talks about the reference of those who had another terra or another place to live, and that are no longer and will not return, and that they're cast down. And what I like to do is I like to see in the physical what they're talking about in this particular book.
Yep.
And I have found a number of videos where they're talking about, doing these digs, and these people, a human being standing up against just the skull of one of these things looked like a grasshopper, up against just the skull of this thing. And I'm thinking, how tall, how big, how massive that thing was. And there were also the bones that were discovered by these people who were sometimes just trying to build building, or maybe they found an archaeological dig and they started going in, and then they came upon these things. They found that they were not only very large, but that they had red hair and it was really thick. These things could have been dyed, and somebody could have made these, buried them, and dyed their hair and all that kind of thing. Well, they had some of this hair tested on a, I don't know if it's called chromometer, something like that, some kind of spectrometer meter. And like they would do is they would take regular hair, and they would take this red hair that came off of these skulls, and then they would take red hair, human hair that was dyed red, and they would see if any of this stuff matched, or if they could mark it as a fake. Well, what they found was that they couldn't mark the red hair off these skulls as fake, but that they had their own distinctive bloodline as well. And then I started thinking, so maybe there really is something to this. But these giants are found all over the planet. And the other thing about that is that they have very similar burial grounds. We have something in Ohio called the Serpent Mound.
Yeah, I've seen that,
Right.
probably on Ancient Aliens I saw that or something like that.
Yeah, but the other thing that I didn't know is that, well, I knew that they were connected with the Native Americans, but that there are stories back in the from the Native Americans that have talked about them killing these things and then burying them in very specific, and there are stories of I don't know if it's the I can't remember what the name of the tribe is. I think it was in Africa. There was this Native American tribe that have stories about them killing these red-haired giants, and that there was a cave that what they did was they got all of these giants all trapped up in this cave, and then they put fire to the mouth of the cave, and then they trapped
That's the
all
one
the
that I
giants.
covered in my book, The History of Man. That's the exact, that's the
Yeah, and there were
one.
skulls that were found in there too, and these skulls were huge, and it matched the story, and it wasn't just like a myth. So, but there are also these same kind of structures. There, many of them have had sediment, and sediment not just regular laying of land, a continental land, but actual sediment. There are stories all over the world about a great flood, and that everything was wiped out. And so when they're going to a lot of these places, they're finding that. The other thing that I studied for a while was like Stonehenge. Stonehenge has always fascinated me. And how they got these big stones to go and line up and all that. And do you know that there are tens of millions of structures that are like this, but that most of them are not on, still standing like Stonehenge, but that they're buried under the sediment from this great flood. They're starting to now dig these all up, and they're finding that there are other things that are very interesting because we're always trying to figure out
Did you see the ones at all
what they're made.
with Easter Island, how they buried underneath the head and they've got
Yeah,
bodies and
they when they started digging, and hey, dude, there's more than just a head here. There's a whole body, and it goes way, way down into the earth. And I'm like, well, I wonder how that happened. How high the water had to come up, but that these heads were still sticking out was kind of a little odd.
What makes me think too is if some of these things are technologies where it's like as if they could, meaning extraterrestrial interdimensional beings, ancient civilizations here had sort of go, what we'll do, we'll screw it up a little bit, knock this down, do this and that, let them figure it out, because by the time they figure how to work it out, they might be mature enough to use it.
That, like it's like when you have kids. I have six. They sometimes they surprise me quite delightfully, and sometimes they just make me want to just rip their heads off and use them as bowling balls. But I find that it's very much like that, I think. We're getting extremely close to figuring out what they are. I've read and seen a couple of videos just recently. These structures that are like Stonehenge are made out of a particular kind of stone. It is called ringing stone or ring stone. And why they call it that is that if you take another piece, same similar, and you knock against it, it makes a tone. And depending on where you are at, it makes different kinds of tones. And then there were some people that decided that they wanted to find out if there was anything other odd about this. So they took in a bunch of meters and like EMF meters and recorders and things like that. Different things to measure heat and light and other more physical phenomena. And they were finding that there were getting expressions from their meters that were like totally completely off the chart. That in some areas where they were finding some of these structures, whether buried or not, barely visible or out in the open, they would find that there were different heat parameters. And in the very center of the PE, whether standing or buried, there would be definitive heat signatures that would come off, some that were like as if there was a volcano underneath
So
and very
significant
active.
rise in heat
Yes,
that's been measured.
and then sound waves were very odd and different. Some of them were measured in hertz that we are not even familiar with and didn't even know that we could go that high. And so the whole idea of what it was, if it were like considered to be a Sloan object or center, that it would have particular kind of resonance. But then they started connecting the dots. And there are structures, as I said, tens of millions, maybe even more, maybe as many as 20 million of these structures all over the planet. And what interesting is this? They all line up. They're all on some sort of
It's like a
concentric
grid.
grid. Yes. And so we have someone by the name of Nikola Tesla who had decided that it would be possible to take energy out of the atmosphere and from the planet Gaia, as he calls it. And that something else that he was saying, remember when I said that the stones, they had like this, they were called ring stones, and that they have like different sounds if you hit them in different places. He also said that the earth itself is like a giant bell. And if you ring it, hit it in a particular place, it makes a sound. Many people believe that everything that you see was created by sound, wave, vibration, frequency. And that these other things like multiple dimensions that have been talked about by very, very famous people have finally said that what we see right in front of us is not all there is. And we don't have to go off the planet to learn about these other dimensions, but that they are here. And there are as many as 14 or more dimensions. So in all of that, here we get back to the monuments that are all over the world. What is odd and interesting all at the same time is that they were all somehow connected, and you can't really do that unless you like look down on them by air and see. And even the paintings on the ground, like the Aztec lines and stuff of that sort, they all line up on this particular grid. And there was one in particular, it's 30, 31 degrees on the, I don't know, what is that line? When it goes,
Longitude and latitude, I think it's longitude and latitude, I think.
on the meridian of 31 degrees.
Yeah.
And that is a very sacred number too, if people are into numerology, to look for the number 31. It is representative of God creation. And funny that we were talking too, that it does go through Iraq. And everything else matches up. At one time, when before we came along as our present self, all of that was working. It connects also with the pyramids in Giza and all the other pyramids that are around. We have also had some individuals who have been able to take photographs of the pyramids and have found that there are waves that come off of it. And they go along the horizontal, and they also come down, not necessarily on the vertical, but they come stepping down, kind of sort of like water down a waterfall. And that all along I thought, you know those little portals that they have in the prints where there's holes, shafts, and nobody can figure out what? Well, think on this. If in fact they really did figure out how to get a worldwide grid going on, and that think on this, it's frequency energy, and that they tapped into all of this, that those pyramids could actually be generators.
I
And that
think
they could
it's
be
got something to
used.
do with that and healing transmission of energy for
Yes.
technology. I think there's a hell of a, I don't think there's just one purpose. I think there's a whole array that when you get into this vibrational frequency energy, there is so many applications it can be put into. And it could be going out into space and doing other things
Right.
with a huge
Did you
energy.
see the pyramids where they actually had shaft there? There was somebody who took photos of this, and their shafts literally four looked like three-dimensional shafts that go from the top of the pyramid up. And it's
And then
I
you've
don't know
got
what the heck it's.
them lining up with Orion, and one of the shafts go with Sirius and something
Yes, and
else.
Orion, and they're, there are a lot of different kinds of things going on. One of the reasons why I was starting to study about angels and giants and all of that is because I wanted to find out how it tuned into Nephilim, and the Nephilim are what was created after the fallen had come down and mated with females who looked really great to them, and they're like, hey, yeah, I want to do this. So, and then, but what they ended up creating was these like monstrosities that were huge. But not only were they huge, because angels are from my understanding, warriors. They're not these cute little shiny things with the little wings and all of that kind of thing. Now, they may present themselves like that to some people, but they're warriors. They have armor and they have big swords and they have probably big horses and all that other stuff, whatever they need. And they're warriors. They're meant to be protective. The other thing is that when they call on the angels, that they must understand that we are made to be able to direct them. And a lot of people don't know that. But they say, well, I have a guardian angel, but I don't know what to do or anything like that. And it doesn't seem like there's any movement going on in my life. You have to ask them. They are not allowed to interfere. Just like some of these other beings that have come down that you have talked about.
They're here to guide.
They're
They can't make,
thought.
yeah, they're here to guide
Right.
and help. They just can't do everything for us because it's up to us. It's for our own spiritual development and to take things on our back. You know, you just can't, a lot of people just think, you know, you can expect the world, everything from them. And they're trying to get us up to a level where we can do things on our own back. And basically we can do what they can do. It's just that we don't realize it, and they're trying to show us, hey, you can do what we can do. You've got to get back to the oneness. You've got to look within. You know, we're all
But
a cell of God.
we also need to have the discussion about the fact that not all of those are benevolent beings. That there are those, just like in the beginning, the particular scripture in Revelation says that it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. Now think on this: there were giants, there were angels, there were demons, there was a lot of things that were going on that most people, if they went out their door and they saw something like that, they would die of fright, which is another revelation
No, you're
that
spot
some of
on
these people are going to do that.
about that because I've had experience with, you know, the archonic type beings, the reptilians, and one of the reptilian beings were cool. They are not what you would expect, but the other two very, very similar to what, you know, people have reported and scared. The first experience with them, it was very great, but they were inside the earth. The other two weren't
Right.
so, yeah, what you would say, pretty cool. But in saying
They,
that,
right.
they're breaking up. My understanding is that they're even those factions of the Archons and the Reptilians are breaking up now, because what's happening is they can't evolve. They're stuck where they are because they've put us in a
Right.
box and have relied on us, you know, for either energy manipulation, whatever it goes into.
Right.
So there is still, you know, the Archons and Reptilians, but they are breaking up. There's factions going, hey man, we can't evolve. We can't spiritually evolve. We can't, you know, evolve in any way because this is what we rely on, which is the human, you know, race,
All
put
right,
him in
well,
a
here,
box.
let's think on this. I've done some study within the last couple of weeks. There is a part in the Bible that talks about these beings that have been cast out and that they are not allowed to populate. They are not allowed to do any kind of any forward thinking. They will stay exactly the way they are. They are not allowed to do any of that. Now, we were talking a little bit about some of these beings coming down and reports of like cattle mutilation and ovaries, being eggs being taken and sperm being taken and these kinds of things. Now, okay, so they probably have a pretty good idea how humans are made and how our genetic structure is. And so, don't you think it's a little odd that they would be taking it and looking at that? I'm sure
No,
over the thousands
because
of years
we talk
that they've
about
been doing this.
the two timelines.
Right.
One of the points is that we are them. We're a mixture of a few races up there mixed with ethereal DNA. We're multidimensional beings, but we're very special. We're sort of like a super race in the 3D realm. DNA is turned off because we've lost the oneness. With the oneness comes the whole DNA thing. Now, I've got
Right.
hybrid kids myself. I know that they exist, the hybrid kids. That's why some of that is happening. And it's agreed upon, and a lot of the ladies and blokes, like I have amnesia about the reality of the kids until further stuff. Now, with the shift, there is a backup where if this all goes to shit, there is another planet calibrated with life similar to Earth, where
Right.
similar plants, similar beings can exist there, similar animals, everything you can think of similarly. But in saying that, I can't explain why all the cattle mutilations, why all the abductions and
I
the
have a
undertaking.
theory about that.
Yeah.
I have a theory about that. I am thinking, and this is mostly for like the grays, because I do believe that there is a band of grays that is benevolent, but there is also a band of grays that is not.
Well, I know of at least
And
12 races, so there's many different races of them. And
but
that's from personal experience. There's many types.
here's my theory about why the cattle mutilations and things of that sort. There seems to me, maybe perhaps, a genetic dysfunction within their body because they are starting to degenerate because they can't populate. And there's no forward movement with them. There's enzymes within, like, say, the thymus gland and within the pituitary glands that they need those enzymes from that they can keep alive. And what
In
they would do
that,
is they would take it and go and take it back to wherever they have their facilities at and extract the enzymes and then either inject them or drink them, and so that they can be able to continue to function.
what I get
So
from
I'm
that,
thinking maybe that.
I spoke to you before the show and I was talking about how there are a couple of different races of greys that us in the future from solar events drive us underground, manipulated us. And there was some Draco activity going on to create the greys.
Right.
They could be needing pure human type substances because they are human originally to survive.
Yes.
And this is
Yes.
where I didn't understand, as I said, there was a timeline of everything bad, everything good, and on another timeline, we've created a new timeline, but there's bits of both. And because we're in a different timeline, I was wondering how do some future humans that are greys, and the other half that split off were Nordics and went to Orion and the Pleiades. So it wasn't all, bad, but that's where the splitting up. The humans that
Right.
stayed human became enlightened and went to Orion and Pleiades. The other ones went underground. And that's what I was thinking when you said that, was that maybe these greys coming back might be not the actual normal original greys, but the human type greys that have to come
That
back and
need
they
that.
need that. That's what
There was
it
an
could be.
there was another thing about remember I was talking about the structures all over the planet. The one of the odd things about it is that all of these structures are built around where there was gold. And that for some reason, this gold, now there's another theory here that part of the reason why the human race was created from Adam and all of this is that they needed, instead of using machinery to withdraw the gold, because gold is very soft and pliable. If you use machines and it goes and grabs onto it, it could muck it up.
It's the best conductor of
So,
electricity too.
right, and they didn't want that. So they created humans to be able to work as slaves, workers, and go in there and get, teach them how to extract it and give them the tools to extract it and do all of that kind of thing. It's a little kind of oddish. I kind of sort of maybe think that, well, I mean, it might be something to that, but I do think that it's very odd that these structures are all built around where there is gold and that you wouldn't know that. How would you know that way back then? Because we didn't really have the technologies or even the thought, at least I would think, of even knowing how to, even knowing that stuff was in the ground, let alone anything else.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very odd. Also, a lot of the monoliths that they have out there, and they're writing about giving this gold-like substance up, and these beings coming down to take them, looking at the hieroglyphs that they had in Egypt, and with Ra and
Yep.
the all of the creatures that they had from there too. Very odd. And the going back to giants, there's this one that I particularly like when these people are really, really tall, right? Well, the guy that they're giving all of this prey to and this stuff to, he's sitting down. And him sitting down is tall as sitting up. And if he stood up, he would be at least a good 10, 15 feet taller than them.
Yep. Some food for thought.
I never, I mean, I've seen that particular hieroglyph a bazillion times before, and I never thought about the fact that he's sitting down.
Yep.
Because, you know, your mind, when it goes to look for similarities, it just looks at the height difference.
Yeah,
You
and it's the
have to
same with
make that.
symbolism. You'll pick up on signs here and
Yeah.
there, but it's not until you originally pick up on it. After then, you pick up on it, but before you just no chance in hell of it happening, yeah.
We had, you know those pictures that they have where they have other pictures that are inside the picture, and that if you look at it from a particular perspective, you'll only see a particular thing. Well, like the faces with the glass and all of that, and you see some people see the faces right, some people glass, and we saw one that I had seen the other day. It was a picture of these two people being engaged in a particular activity, but then there were also dolphins all around it too. And I'll send you the picture because you have to see it. And there are like nine dolphins in this picture, and they say that children can see the dolphins right away because their mindset is not at that point yet. They haven't had that experience yet. I still have yet to show my youngest son and daughter. My puzzlement, though, if in fact that is what needs to have things shaken around, is that my 16-year-old and my 14-year-old saw the couple and they didn't see the dolphins right away. I had to point them out, and I was like, really? But they have watched rated R films, not like sexually graphic, but they have, you know, they kind of sort of get the understanding of what couples do when they make children or whatever they do. So I'm kind of curious to see if my young ones, the littlest ones, will see the dolphins.
Pick
But
up
it
on
is,
it.
in fact, all perspective. And then, yeah, and I'm thinking about that hieroglyphic with the beings coming. I mean, and then the other thing is that you're so focused on the hieroglyphics because they're animal shaped. Their heads are different, and they're, you know, they've got these big crowns and misshapen heads and stuff. And so I'm just more focused on that than I was anything else.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. Like the whole lot, you can just keep going because it brings up new things and leads you on another path. It just
Yeah,
goes
you
and
start,
goes.
the more that you think that you've started to finally figure it out, and then you're like, well, how did all that happen? And then it just makes more questions. It's
Yeah.
very,
No, definitely. All righty, we'll end the show there, and I've got to have you back on sometime because we always. Yeah, I've been on your show and we can just talk and talk and talk and talk. They cover
lot
so
of good
much.
stuff out there.
Yeah, nah, definitely. All righty, well, thanks for being on the show and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. You have a
All
good
right.
evening. I'll talk to you later, Peter.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.